It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipay. Dr. Calipay is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipay specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipay's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipay.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for listening to the Optimal Health program today. Hope you're all doing well. As you know, we're going to chat here for the next hour and talk about the important things in lifestyle, in nutrition, in vitamin and mineral use and consumption, in exercise. Talk about a variety of different things, including what may be behind the symptoms that you have as underlying causes for your medical problems. So, you know, in seeing many thousands of patients over many years, 30 years, learning about people and learning from each person enables me to get a really good handle on exactly what your body is doing, things you're doing right and things you're doing wrong. And as I say, to be effective in anything you do, you have to learn from other people. So realistically, knowledge that you can impart to someone else and someone can impart to you could make your decision-making process that much better, stronger, more accurate. There are times when I've been surprised by things that are causes of problems that patients have. And then that surprise leads me to looking for more research and coordinating, connecting things and understanding things. So that's what makes us all more intelligent, the desire to learn more and to know more. And those people who have that desire are the ones who typically stay healthier. And other people who, when they come in and we review their diet and their exercise habits, etc., we fine-tune everything, they become much healthier for that. So it's all about being inquisitive and understanding what your body's doing. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll get your calls up on the air. We'll go to some great articles as well. As we typically look at research on nutrients, it repeatedly is reinforced to me that vitamin deficiency is a bad thing. If you were to look on vitamin deficiency alone, you get probably 500,000 or 1 million studies talking about how vitamin deficiency here was linked with that and vitamin deficiency with this nutrient was linked with that. So it's more than obvious that we need to get our vitamins in the right range. So with that being said, one article we'll talk about today, once again, vitamin D deficiency increases the risk of cardiovascular disease. So this is important, once again, that researchers all over the world are looking at vitamin D in both deficiency and correlating it with disease, and then correcting it to see improvement in disease, and then keeping levels up in the high end of normal range to prevent disease. So this is an interesting study in individuals that had low vitamin D. Some of them had no medical problems as of yet. Some had lupus. Some had healthy controls. Some had heart disease. Some didn't. And this study went out of the course of a decade, and they're looking at vitamin D levels in all of these individuals. Data collected, demographics for the people that had lupus, their activity, an assessment of damage or degeneration, cardiovascular risk factors, medication use, lab markers of inflammation, vitamin D levels. So they went through an entire, you know, a great, great study. So looking at these individuals that had low vitamin D, they had more progression of disease. In one part of the study, they said the blood pressure was higher with low vitamin D. Blood sugar, cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL cholesterol, higher with low vitamin D. More protein in the urine with low vitamin D. Higher level of carotid artery stenosis with low level vitamin D. Low levels of D were also significantly associated with higher lupus disease activity. And this is just one study out of hundreds of thousands on vitamin D. Not just vitamin D. Think about all the other vitamins. So when I tell people when you come in to do your testing, one of the first things we talk about would be your vitamin levels or what vitamins you're taking or What's your diet like? What foods do you eat? It's really for the purpose of understanding whether or not you're deficient in all the vitamins. And then doing the blood test can either confirm or deny that. And overwhelmingly, out of all the patients I think I've ever seen, I've never seen someone come in with great vitamin levels for every vitamin. I don't think it's possible to expect to see that unless a person is testing their levels with some frequency and correcting according to that. There are many variables that could change the levels of nutrients in your blood. Absorptive digestive ability, hydrochloric acid in your gut, the ability to make enzymes, inflammation in your gut from a variety of reasons, food allergy, etc. So we have to take all that in consideration. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you can do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we can get your questions up on the air. Probiotics improve bowel function in elderly patients. This was done in a hospital. This is on the Journal of Nutrition and Health. It talks about a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial in individuals. I'm not even going to say the word elderly. I was talking about this on the program the other day. I think elderly is a bad word. It makes us think of someone who really can't function at all. And elderly, typically in medical research, unfortunately, is associated with the age of 65. I know a lot of people that are 65 and older that are doing beautifully that you could never call elderly. So whenever I see the E word, I'm just going to completely skip that word. So these are people 65 years of age or older who were doing rehab for orthopedic reasons, a variety of things. Using probiotics helped to significantly improve their bowel function. Those that were constipated helped to get rid of that. Those that had more on the other spectrum, loose movement, were corrected. So we do need some organisms in the gut that really help to stabilize that environment. It's like its own little world in there, because there are a variety of different things that should be there, and there are a variety of things that shouldn't be there. Bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungal organisms. That's why we do stool testing, to see whether or not some of your stomach symptoms may be coming from an unwanted house guest, as it were. So we've got to look at the facts of what's occurring within, you know, your environment. Interesting comments on lipoic acid, alpha-lipoic acid, and alpha-tocopherol in type 2 diabetic patients. So typically when studies are done, they look at a variety of parameters in the blood and type 2 diabetics. They look at blood sugar, A1C, fructosamine, C-peptide. So here in this study, using vitamin E, 800 milligrams per day, and alpha-lipoic acid, 600 milligrams a day, significantly improved the lipid fractions in these patients, the cholesterol markers. Now, they didn't say whether or not the people started a low-carb diet at the same time. If they did, they'd see much more dramatic change in lipids. But yet, you do need the vitamins on board. Everybody needs them. So individual studies about one vitamin or two combined, yet you put that into this nice big pot of stew with every study on every vitamin on board, can really give you some great understanding as to how your body needs a variety of things. Once again, the phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get your call right up on the air, and we'll chat. Supplementation with carnitine and CoQ10 can help to improve the lipid profile in patients on hemodialysis. Now, this is a very unique population of people who have a very significant loss of kidney ability and function and are using a machine to pull things out of the blood. Unfortunately, dialysis not only pulls out waste products of metabolism, but it pulls out vitamins and minerals. And most people that do dialysis are very deficient in nutrients as a result of it. That's why all the patients I've ever seen that do dialysis, we recommend they do it in the morning, and they start taking their nutrients, vitamins and minerals, right after dialysis, because what you take before might be pulled out of your system. And many people will do vitamin IVs after they do dialysis to really get their nutrient levels to come up. So we have to make sure that we keep all those nutrients in the right range. You know, we've heard about CoQ10 deficiency with people taking statins. These drugs block the pathway where cholesterol is made naturally in the body, and one of those steps of the pathway is CoQ10 production. So shutting down all your CoQ10 is actually a very bad thing. That's why some people have issues with muscle pain and aches and cramping when they take the cholesterol pills, because you're robbing the muscles of CoQ10. That can cause a variety of things, including mitochondria effects. But it can affect your heart, because your heart's a muscle. It can affect your liver, your kidneys, your brain. So we need to get a better handle on keeping all your vitamins in the right range and not necessarily using meds unless you absolutely positively have to for a condition. And when I see people on cholesterol meds, we typically talk to them about how to cut the carbs, do the exercise, correct vitamins, minerals, and hormones, and they may not need the medication. So there are different options as I see it. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Gordon in Brooklyn. Hi, how are you?
Yes, Dr. Calpe. I'm sure you've been asked this question numerous times, but here goes.
Okay.
Is there any way that a senior citizen can raise his hormone levels, especially his testosterone level, by natural means?
Yeah, I've never seen any of those things that are marketed for testosterone on TV, in the magazines, on the radio, ever raise testosterone, even in the younger population who still typically has some of their own production. The way that I describe it is that you have these factories that make your hormones, and when you're in your 30s and 40s, they're not producing as much of that one product as they were when you were younger. And you get to your 50s and 60s, the factories produce less. And it's like the factory is shutting down at one point. So there's nothing that you could take that's natural that can get that factory and that organ to have brand new cells to make the hormone it did before. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen more people than not, as they start to have either erectile difficulty or low testosterone, try to take any number of these things that you could get in the health food stores. And they typically don't report any benefit. That's because hormone function and the feedback systems, you know, in the body are important to understand. And just taking something that might be a precursor is not going to get that factory to open and make product again.
I see. Okay.
That's the best layman's way to describe it.
I guess one would have to use a testosterone patch or something similar.
Well, there are different options. You can use a compounded testosterone pellet you let dissolve under your tongue. That can give you a little bit of testosterone. And in many people, that's all they need. Mm-hmm. Some people, when their levels are super low, we may give them an injection once or twice or three times over the course of a few weeks to get the levels to come up. Then switch them to the sublingual or switch them to a cream or a gel. We're also looking into a technique where a doctor can, and there aren't many doctors that do it, but we're looking into it, can put these time-release pellets into the skin, just under the skin, to allow them to slowly allow testosterone to come on board. You know, I've been looking at this data for a long time, and I wanted to make sure that A, it worked, B, there were no bad side effects, C, there were people that weren't overdosed that, you know, needed to have it taken out because they were getting a side effect from it. So we're going to talk about that over the next couple of weeks.
Much. It's good to know that at least something will be helpful, if not the stuff they advertise on TV.
Yeah, there are a lot of options. And the funny thing, and I tell people, you know, and every time I hear them start the sentence in any point of the conversation, I saw on TV or I read on the internet, you know, typically when people look at my face, I'll have that, oh my gosh, you know, look, because there's more disinformation that's easier for people to read in general than almost anything else. And what I talk about is medical research, medical, you know, peer-reviewed, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. That's really in a different section on the internet, in scholar.google. That's where all the great medical research lives. So there's the basic internet that can give you who knows who's doing the writing or the typing, you know, and you get so many comments about things, you don't know what's true or not. And yet there's factual facilities that do great research, and that's what I always look at.
Well, thank you very much. Needless to say, you've been most informative.
Thank you very much. You're so kind. Thank you for calling. Always enjoy talking to you. Okay, 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Catherine in Queens. How are you?
Okay, doctor. How are you?
Great.
I wanted to ask you about the efficacy of that hair analysis in determining mineral levels in the body. And
I'm not a fan of hair analysis at all. I don't think it's that great. I think that it leaves a great deal to be desired in terms of what's happening inside your body now, because it's not really what's happening inside your body now. It's what's been or happened in the past in your body.
Well,
that's why it's not legal in New York for medical doctors to do hair analysis.
Oh, that's why?
Yeah, it might be worthwhile in a second realm in forensics, where if a person is poisoned to death with something, you know, forensic toxicology, they can say that you've had a big dose of arsenic or something horrible in your body over time, and that may have killed you, and then they might be able to see that in your hair. But it has no real bearing on the immediacy of what's going on in your blood or what's getting inside your red blood cells. That's why we do your blood serum and red blood cells for minerals.
Okay. Well, I have a friend who lives here in New York, and she went to a so-called nutritional optometrist in Jersey, and he did a hair analysis, but he told her that she had to send, she had to give a Jersey address for the results. I don't know, is that a way that people get around it or what?
I'm not sure whether it's legal or not in New Jersey. So if it's being sent somewhere to some lab, maybe they require it to go to a place in New Jersey because it's definitely not legal in New York. And I agree, it's not an accurate test for something happening now. It's a test of what, you know, you were exposed to in the past, I think. And that's why it's only used forensically. I know there are no labs in New York that do hair analysis. So there might be labs outside of New York that do it, but then they can't send it back to New York because they're not allowed to.
Thank you for your explanation of it.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Bye.
Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call and ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, and we'll get you up on the air. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan. How are you?
Yes, doctor, I have a question for you. We just lost a president, a former president.
Yes,
and my friends,
that's very sad.
Yeah, and my friends in Kenny Buckport told me years ago he had lost all concept of reality, and he was suffering from dementia.
Yeah.
This is his neighbors that were telling me, but the government was protecting him. My question to you is, I've known geniuses, I've known great people, and they don't even know their own kids sometimes. Do you believe that science is working hard enough to get at the root causes of what is triggering this? Or are we living too long?
No, I think the problem is we have far too much exposure to heavy metals now, more so than ever before. That's documentable, number one. There are hundreds of thousands of studies that talk about heavy metals, the 21 metals we typically look for and how they damage your body. I think that there are more chemicals in foods. I think that there are many reasons for people losing memory and getting older faster than they should. And of course, I would expect that anyone's family would want to hide such an uncomfortable disorder from the public and from people. So I know that that's something that I think is appropriate that the Bush family had done. I think he was a wonderful person and a wonderful, servant for the country and such. I just wish that there were more being done to understand the underlying causes as opposed to just giving medications.
I agree.
I can tell you, we have patients that have dementia and full-blown Alzheimer's that have amazing results with stem cell therapy. I'm not the only person in the world who's ever, helped people with this, and the literature goes back a long time. So the first published information on stem cells appears to be, when you look on the internet, about 150 years ago. Ernst Haeckel was publishing information in Germany and called it a Stammzell. And subsequently, all sorts of countries were doing research on this, and there's a huge amount of information on this. Would I, if I knew that he had some of this issue, have discussed this with them, of course. But, you can't get to certain people. And there have been other presidents that have had similar things. So as you get older, the reality is your brain, as are your other organs, is not making new cells. You're living on older, poorly functioning cells. And if your hormone levels decline and your vitamin levels decline, your brain will age faster. If you have more damaging metals on board, aluminum from underarm deodorant, pots and pans, aluminum foil, aluminum is directly linked with Alzheimer's. Research has been showing that for years. Arsenic in chicken, shrimp, rice, apples, California wine, lead, mercury, and cadmium in lipstick and makeup. We see brain disorders more in people in certain jobs. Plumbers typically breathe in a great deal of solder when they're, you know, working on the pipes. Landscapers use pesticides, and that certainly has a horrible effect on the body. People using different chemicals, whether they're working in a body shop or cleaning a carburetor in a mechanics facility, you know, there are a lot of things that, you know, people are exposed to pretty bad substances. So I think more and more of this is happening because, you know, our environment is not what we think it is. And we're exposed to a great deal more chemicals and problems now than ever before.
Dr. May, say one last thing. So, in fact, we are living too long.
I don't think we're living too long. I think we're living longer because of, you know, some medications. But we're not necessarily living better, because I see a lot of people, as they get older, losing a lot of function. Their heart is maintained with meds, maybe, and their blood pressure and diabetes are maintained, whereas 100 years ago, they wouldn't have lived this long. But we still need to fine-tune and fix things that now we can do, and nutritionally, we've always been able to do. You know, we do a variety of treatments. Chelation therapy we used to help to remove lead and the two and the three positively charged metal ions. I think that's important because comparing to years ago when we did urine tests and now, we see a great deal more metals showing up in the urine, especially when we do a urine after the IV. So we are exposed to so many more chemicals in foods and in our environment than ever before. I think that's the problem. And if you look at countries that don't have this exposure, their rates of disease are extremely low. The highest rates of cancer in the world are in the United States. The lowest rates of cancer in the world are in Africa and India. Obviously because of, you know, not being, you know, hugely industrialized countries. They don't have all the stuff that we have here and the pollution, I'm sure. But India as well, they have a lot of curry, which is turmeric or curcumin, in their diet. And curcumin's got some great anti-cancer effects. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for making sure your personal environment, your home environment, you know, is very clean and clear. What you're eating is very clean. You're eating organically. You're blood testing for your vitamins, correcting your vitamins.
Hey, thanks, Doc.
Thank you so much for your question. Great question. Very important question. Okay, phone lines are open. 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, do so now. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Francis in Stamford, Connecticut. How are you?
I'm fine. Good evening, Dr. Calipay.
Thank you.
You know, I know you're always talking about the effects from a deficiency of the vitamin D.
Yep.
But I have been in, and I had started testing with you because I realized that you just can't just take in vitamins and not getting your levels and everything checked.
Correct.
Now, I was actually over the range of the 100 you wanted to be. I was at, I think, 143.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the effect?
That's a little bit higher than what we expect. And the big studies in Europe were looking at people, and they were given 200,000 units of vitamin D injection 4 times a year, and they tracked their vitamin D levels, and they stayed between, I think, 85 and 135. And there were no side effects. There were no problems. People in that study, which is a big study, had a dramatic decrease in the risk of flu, swine flu, infections, etc., and the decrease of cancer by 77%. All cancers were seen in that published information. I think you should stay in around 100.
Okay.
And remember, your vitamin D is not going to be the same every minute of the day. So you might have taken your vitamin D in the morning. We did the blood test, and your level showed up higher than usual.
That's true. Yep.
So that's why we use, you know, recurrent or multiple blood tests. So let's say your vitamin D was 80. I would say, great. What you're doing is keeping you in a great range. Or 90. And then if you came in at a level that was too low, we'd recommend raising the dose and retesting it. If you came in at too high, we'd recommend rechecking it. So, and we would recheck it at a different time of day. Now, here's one thing you'll never hear from anybody other than myself, because I talk about this to my patients and my, you know, other doctor friends. If you take something in the morning, your levels will start to climb and be real good right after you take it. But then your cells and your body starts to use it, whether it's a vitamin or a medication, etc., so your levels start to drop. So there's a peak time where that vitamin or drug will exist, and then it starts to drop down. And then your levels can drop down or go too low later in the afternoon if you're not taking another dose of that substance. So that's why we check people at different times a day. And I'll write down on the progress note, a patient was tested at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we see what their blood work was like then. And if something is too high, we'll recheck them at 1 in the afternoon the next time they come in, and now their level might be fine. Or we'll check them at 3 o'clock, or, you know. Right. We'll just vary the time of testing so we can get a little bit of a graph as to what your levels are doing, you know, throughout the course of the day. Just like blood sugar is never the same all day long. That's why people that are diabetic take their blood sugar a few times a day.
I see. Okay. Well, you did cut me back a little bit, and I will be coming back in to see where I'm at. So I realize I'll have to probably come in the afternoon, I guess, at this next time around. Okay, then.
That would be great. Look forward to seeing you.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your call. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And we'll get you right up on the air. Let's go back to look at some of the research. Supplementation with omega-3 acids helps to decrease inflammation after extreme exercise. So great publication, Clinical Journal of Sports Medicine, talks about a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study involving men who had not participated in any training program for 60 days prior to starting the study, giving them the omega-3 fatty acids, evaluating them, and then having them do the exercise, looking at tumor necrosis factor alpha, prostaglandin E2, immediately, 24 hours, 48 hours after exercise. So the good thing about the omega-3s is that they were effective in decreasing the inflammatory markers from exercise, which, as anyone would imagine, would be a good thing. So more benefits about different, you know, vitamins and nutrients. Once again, 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-9222. Don't wait to the end of the program. I want to be able to get as many calls and answer as many questions as possible. Fish oil supplementation decreases inflammation and can help in wound healing. This is a great study, and it was a randomized study involving 18 subjects with wounds. They were trying to assess the effects of oral supplementation with the omega-3 fatty acids, looking at the acute wound environment. And based on this study, that the lipid intake can help to modify and improve the wound environment and make it more conducive to healing. So they had better healing markers and faster healing time when people were consuming the fish oil supplementation. Always very interesting to see research that, you know, most people would never know anything about, whether it's in the vitamin realm, mineral realm, drug realm. So I like looking for things that are, you know, interesting and, you know, suggestive of ways to, you know, use nutrients and such to keep your body healthier. Interesting, for people that have acne, this is an interesting study about the application of green tea extract may reduce some of the sebum or the wax and the oil produced for acne. So using a green tea extract and putting that on the cheek over the course of 8 weeks significantly decreased the oiliness of the skin. So they think that the great things inside green tea, epigallocatechins, EGCG, may help to decrease, kill bacteria, and decrease the oiliness of the skin for those that have acne. polyunsaturated fatty acid benefit with children that have attention deficit disorder. We know we've all heard about fish oil is good for your brain. We've known it lowers triglycerides. But here's another great study talking about improvement in those kids with attention deficit disorder taking a little bit of the EPA DHA fatty acids. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. Let's go to Shelley in Brooklyn. How are you?
Hey. My daughter is a heart transplant patient, 3.5 years.
Okay.
All right. Her last exam, her C-reactive protein went from 1 to 35.
Okay.
And I'm concerned about that, obviously.
Well, there's two different types of C-reactive protein.
What is that?
There are two different types of C-reactive protein.
Okay.
There's the regular C-reactive protein, and then there's HS, high-sensitive C-reactive protein.
Okay.
So the regular C-reactive protein can elevate if you twist your leg, if you fall, if you have inflammation in your gut as a result of a food that you're allergic to. So it's a non-specific marker when you look at the regular CRP, C-reactive protein.
If she has,
but the high-sensitive C-reactive protein is more of a description of what may be occurring in your blood vessel.
Right.
So you have to make sure which one of the C-reactive proteins it is. A joint arthritis or inflammation or a bump can cause elevation of one but not the other.
All right. Couple of things. Her cholesterol went down because she's on a statin drug. They put him on a statin drug.
Hmm.
And her creatinine is about the same. And I'm concerned. I told her to take another couple of tests to make sure. There is,
Well, the thing that I would worry about is on the cholesterol drug,
because
most of them, if not all of them, wipe out CoQ10.
I know.
If you're wiping out CoQ10, your contraction of your heart can be weaker.
Uh-huh.
So you definitely want to do an echocardiogram to look at the contraction or the ejection fraction of the heart to see if it's stable.
I'm sure.
If it decreases somewhat, then it may be from the statin medication wiping out CoQ10 in the muscle. And the CoQ10 can also cause you the obvious cramping and pains in your legs, can cause your liver enzymes to go up. But I wouldn't say, I'm sure they're testing that. I think you should be sure and ask her to say, if she's had it. And if not, she should ask her doctor for it.
Okay.
Always better to double check. Always. What was that?
Friends. Linus Pauling wrote the foreword to my book, The Best of Health.
Oh, really?
Abram Hoffer was a good friend.
Sure, I knew Abram Hoffer.
And Albert St. George, who discovered vitamin C.
Sure.
Helped me, too. And
I had the wonderful, and I tell the story, opportunity of meeting Linus Pauling at a conference at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Tulsa, Oklahoma, many years ago. And he lectured to a large group of doctors, and you could hear a pin drop because he was just so perfectly well-spoken and brilliant. And when you hear him speak, you just thought to yourself, wow, his brain is just in a completely different stratosphere. And it was. He was the only human being in the history of the world that had two unshared Nobel Prizes. And after he gave the lecture, everybody scattered, and I went back into this restaurant in the back of the hotel room. And as I walked in, I saw Linus Pauling sitting there. And I said, Mr. Pauling, would it be okay if I sat down with you to have lunch? Would you mind? He says, no, son, come over. So I sat down there. I was alone with Linus Pauling for like a half hour. And it really was one of the greatest moments of my life, one of the greatest intellectual moments of my life. And I felt like, a kid from kindergarten speaking to, the most brilliant mind that probably ever lived. And I just absorbed everything that, he said. And I wrote down all sorts of notes and things. But I even have a couple pictures with him. But he was such a brilliant, brilliant, kind gentleman,
Laid back and, so genuine.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
And, and his brain capacity, which I think that I really understood, was just so far above anybody I'd ever spoken to, anybody else I've ever heard talk. And I know a lot of smart and I know a lot of brilliant people. But his ability to describe and explain things that were intricate was just incredible. One more quick story. When they first discovered the atom bomb and somehow the American government got copies of a blueprint of it, whichever doctors they had here in this country, and the doctors working for potentially the CIA or FBI, whoever it was, couldn't figure it out. They called polling. They flew out to see him in California, and he agreed to go meet with them in a hotel, and he agreed to read the blueprint of the bomb and explain it. So they sequester him in a little room. They gave him some fruit, anything he wanted, et cetera. And all these other people were standing outside in an antechamber room. They wanted to have, you know, let him have his silence and peace. And after about a half hour, you know, he came out and he grabbed an apple and bit into the apple. And they asked him what was wrong, you know, and it may have been less than a half hour. Probably with Pauling, it was probably 15 minutes. But they asked him what was wrong. He said, nothing, because I could explain it. And they couldn't believe that in 15 minutes that he could read and understand the entire, you know, process of this blueprint of the bomb. And one of the people that was there went to his superior and said, hey, wait a second, you know, if he can understand it that easily, maybe he's a spy. Apparently the superior made fun of the person who said that, because he said, look, idiot, if he was a spy, he wouldn't let us know, you know, so clearly that he was a spy, because he would, you know how to decipher this. But it's a great story when he told it. I'll remember it every day of my life. But he was a star. He was a brilliant, brilliant man.
Very true.
Well, thank you so much for your call. And give us a call back. Let us know what happens with your daughter and her CRP levels and the echocardiogram and all that. Thank you for the call. Okay, phone lines are open. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go next to Pam in Freehold. How are you?
Yes, hello, Dr. Cal. Yes. I'm sorry if you've answered this before, especially on this program, but I wasn't
able okay.
to answer this before. Degenerative disc disease and mm-hmm. anything for it, stem cell and so
it
on.
It depends upon the extent of the degeneration, number one, so we want to look at an MRI. It's also nice, you know, if people have had an X-ray.
Bulging discs all the
right, bone. So let me finish. Some people come in with an X-ray that shows a spacing or outline of the bone, but I like the MRI because it gives us a comment on ligament, tendon, discs, etc. We also want to see the ligament, either laxity or stretchability, because in some people, when the ligaments are too lax and the vertebrae have been grinding on the disc, that makes the problem worse. And even before doing stem cell therapy, I was doing platelet-rich plasma and prolotherapy to try to influence the ligaments to get a little stronger, to be able to stabilize the area and help to decrease pain, and we've done that. And even some people where we inject the stem cells into the ligaments, or sacroiliac ligaments, people can have some significant decrease in pain. You're not going to be able to, at any age, as you get older, stick a needle in and pump up the disc like you would a tire in a bicycle. But if you can stabilize the area and help to decrease some of the pain associated with that, then that would be successful.
Well, spasms. Spasms
are usually muscle spasm on the nerve, so I don't know exactly what the entire cause of your discomfort is without looking at your reports and examining you. It's hard to guess, you know.
How often do you think people should get MRIs done?
Well, MRIs are completely without X-ray, so I don't know that people need to have them done all the time. It's just if you have a pain or a symptom or a syndrome, and it's gotten worse from your last MRI, it's probably a good idea to get another MRI to see, you know, exactly what's changed. Because that's the best picture of what's happening in your joint or your back. Because it gives you a full picture of everything happening in that tissue that you can't, you know, see otherwise.
You said try the prolotherapy and the platelet.
Well, I've done that in the past. It depends upon how bad it is. And some people will do a prolo because it's quick and easy to do, and they say, hey, I'm 30% better.
Okay.
And that may be good, and they may get 30% and not beyond that. If they don't go beyond the 30%, we might do the PRP. If PRP can, platelet-rich plasma.
Okay.
If that works, great. And some people might do that once, so they can come in and do it once a month for 2 or 3 months, because it doesn't really last longer than a month.
I see.
So it depends upon patient's response and what we talk about when you come in. So our discussions obviously allow us to create the best protocol for you.
Okay, and Dr. Cal, you are nowhere near New Jersey, are you?
No. I did my internship there years ago, and I loved it. I was in Union Hospital. What a beautiful place.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, most of our Jersey patients and people out of state come in on Saturday because it's easier to get, you know, to us, you know, without the traffic.
Oh, and you do have Saturday hours.
Yes, ma'am. Regrettably for me, but yes, for...
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Fortunately for patients. Thank you. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. Don't wait for the end of the program. Let's go next to Harriet in Manhattan. Hi there. How are you?
How are you? It's an honor to speak with you, doctor.
Thank you.
I am a, I work full time. I'm a very busy and active person. I have discoloration on my in the ankle area, and it was suggested.
It's reddish, rust colored.
It's grayish and reddish in some areas on the ankle area, slightly above the ankle, that part. So the suggestion was some sort of procedure where they cauterize one vein so the blood goes to the other. It sounds to me like a makeshift answer.
Yeah, I don't know. You see, typically what you have is called stasis dermatitis. It means that the blood flow is either slower than it should be, or the blood coming down in the arteries is pooling somewhat, and the iron inside your red blood cell, if your cells are breaking, leaks out and stains the skin a rust or reddish, brownish, grayish color. So cauterizing or taking a vein out is not necessarily going to help with that. So I'd like to really have some circulation tests done, looking at the arterial flow down to your leg. Do you have plaque in your blood vessels? Looking at the vein return from your leg back up to your inferior vena cava, the right side of your heart. I'd like to see what's going on beyond just saying that you need a surgical procedure.
I did have some cardiac involvement.
What sort of heart issue?
There was, I think, well, my doctor who's casual said it's nothing. You had some sort of a heart, they did a, one of those things where they take something and they pull it up from the leg area, from the groin area up to the heart to look at it.
That's catheterization.
Catheterization, and it showed there was a slight blockage, but then I went to another doctor who said you had a heart attack.
Let's hold there for a second, because one doctor doing a catheterization on you, making it seem like you had some sort of, well, whatever, blah, 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 you know, that doesn't really inspire confidence in me. But your second doctor, who became a little bit more straight to the point, said you had a heart attack. So you do have a heart problem. I mean, that's, you can't mistake a heart attack on an EKG, you know. And if you had a little bit of plaque, you may have more plaque now than you had before. Or maybe they didn't look at every vessel of your body for plaque. Most doctors don't. If you need, we can test the blood vessels in your head, the transcranial test. If we think you have plaque in your head, if you're lightheaded, dizzy, blah, blah, blah. We can check your neck, the carotid. You can check your heart, your abdominal organs or vessels, your legs. So likely you have some, you know, vascular, you know, situation that's brewing. How long ago was that?
That was about a half dozen years ago. I continue to be very active, and this doctor who's concerned put me on a generic for Crestor.
Okay. And obviously, your cholesterol was high.
It was 240 always, and when this doctor took the test, it was 330, so she was very concerned.
Yeah. So I would rather, and this is my view, change all the things that contribute to that and improve 30 things, then just knock your cholesterol down with a pill that's going to wipe out CoQ10. If you look online, you could also find out that the research done on Crestor might have been stopped early or too early. I saw a doctor's comment on that. So it didn't show the side effects of Crestor, because when they did the studies, when they saw cholesterol was coming down, they stopped the research. So if you let that research go on, you say, oh, wait a second, now it's causing this, that, the other thing. You only start to see that after the drug has been in the population for a while. So I'd rather do low-carb diet, exercise, which you're already doing, correct your vitamin deficiencies, and correct hormone decline. And you'll get a great cholesterol and triglyceride-lowering effect, but a whole bunch of other benefits.
Okay, so the first step you suggest would be?
Well, typically I would have you come in and do a nice thorough blood test, looking at all your vitamins, your minerals, your hormones, absorption, you know, digestion. immune response. If you have allergy history, check the allergy mechanism. In other words, we'll learn everything about you, get the circulation testing done, and see where you are.
Got you. Do you have office in Manhattan?
No, Garden City. We're about a half hour east to Manhattan. And most of our Manhattan patients come on a Saturday.
Got you. Okay, thank you so much.
Great. Take a look at the website. You'll see some great information. DrCal.net, and the phone number is 516-794-0404. Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open. Call in now. Don't wait for the end of the program to call in. We've got some extra time now. But let's go next to Austin in Manhattan.
Yes, hi, Dr. Calipay.
Yes, sir.
I was your patient 4 years ago.
Okay.
I can hardly walk.
Okay.
I'm in a wheelchair rolling. Sometimes in the street they go a few blocks.
Okay.
It's fast. I have four neurological conditions.
Okay.
I can barely stand. Called Canvas. Have you heard of Canvas?
Yes. Yes.
Supposedly, I have a neuropathy, that's sure.
Okay.
Spinal cerebellar ataxia, spinal stenosis, and possibly vestibular stenosis.
Boy.
My neurologist at NYU keeps experimenting with different doses of venaflexin. I'm very unhappy with this approach. Would it be possible to come out? I'm thinking of coming and becoming a patient.
Sure. We'd love you to come out. We'll get all your blood testing done as soon as we can and start to learn exactly as to what's happening or happening behind the scenes. I'd also do urine for heavy metals because more often than not, when we see people that have unexplained neurologic issues and doctors really haven't made the clear diagnosis of Parkinson's or MS or this or that, or dementia or Alzheimer's, we typically find heavy metals are a significant, player in the role of the cause. So we have to look for underlying causes.
My question is, after I have the blood test, I would come out with a car service.
Yeah.
Could I come out for after that when the results come in? Come out and stay there in Garden City for a week.
You could. There are a few places to stay.
Office, would they know?
Well, the Marriott Hotel in Uniondale is, minutes away. I'm sure there is a variety of different places right around, Stewart Avenue and Garden City. So if you get on the internet, if you can, look at 1101 Stewart Avenue and then look for hotels near 1101 Stewart Avenue and you'll see the closest.
Very good.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Great. Look forward to seeing you. All righty. Have a good day now. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. So, I've been digging and, looking at lots of great studies and information and looking at articles that describe how important it is to do the urine testing or what they call the challenge testing for heavy metals, where we do urine and then we do an IV with urine after it to look for metals. That's more accurate than hair. That's more accurate than just looking at blood. Some interesting studies on lead and progression of renal disease and how chelation therapy is of benefit. So, and we have so many of these articles on the website already. So for those of you who haven't taken a look at the website, www.drcal.net. The podcast is there. On the left side column, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 or so videos on stem cell therapy right in the center. We have a few more coming up this week. Some books, some other videos. Going down towards the center of the website, 206 articles on how bad heavy metals are for everything. And 2,000 articles, the last few years' worth, are about stem cell therapy for a variety of disorders. So we're trying to give you as much information as possible. And of course, the videos are people who've had severe medical problems that have done stem cell therapy and tell their story. And the beauty is you're hearing it from their experience, from their step-by-step result and process. So that's why we always like to have people tell their story. It's an important thing. You know, we've relied on conversation and discussion and this, you know, for all of our lives. And this is a great way to document this. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Andy. Hi there. How are you?
Yes. Hi, doctor.
Yes, sir.
I was diagnosed about a year ago with stenosis of the aortic artery.
Okay.
And my heart doctor said that at the rate it's going, that he said that it's the stenosis process has been going pretty quickly and that he thought within a year or so I might need valve replacement.
So you have an aortic valve disease, not aortic artery.
Yeah, not the artery, it's the aortic valve.
Yeah.
And my question is there any supplement or any vitamins or anything like that that can slow down the stenosis process?
We have to define what's causing the stenosis. So for the majority of people, and I say there are 50 things that can cause plaque in blood vessels, and certainly those similar things can affect your valves. So we have to look at burning down your cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL. We look at the three types of HDL, three types of LDL chylomicrons. We look at heavy metals because they can incorporate into plaque and some of this material that will affect your valve as well. We look for infection. Viruses can damage valves. You've heard about people having dental work. They may have to take an antibiotic so that that infection that could be in around your teeth doesn't affect your valves if you've had, you know, valve disorder. So we look at a lot of different things, and we'd like to change all those things so we can stop the progression. So the best answer I could give you.
I have low cholesterol, but I have high triglycerides. Is that
you got to cut your carbs down, kick up the exercise, and correct declining hormones and correct your vitamin levels. Triglycerides are easy to bring down. It's not about one thing. It's probably about a bunch of things. That's why we look at all those through the testing.
Okay, so there's no one answer, no magic pill, you're saying?
Basically. No, there never is. Not for anything. There's no magic pill. As much as advertisers want you to think that there's a magic drug or vitamin companies want you to think there's a magic vitamin, there's no magic. The reality is you have to look at all the causes and step by step correct those causes.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. So there are ample studies worldwide saying and talking about what I call the 50 different things that can affect plaque in your blood vessels. Each of the individual heavy metals, each of the cholesterol and cardiovascular markers, secondary markers, LP little a, decline of individual hormones that makes it hard to burn sugar and burn plaque, or decrease what would be adding to this sticky effect on the blood vessel wall. Viruses, they've done studies in years, and certainly they've done them in animals too. When animals have passed away and they look to see which animals had plaque on their blood vessels, they cut the plaque down and they found a variety of different components. Similarly, they've done this with young people that have gotten killed in car accidents and people in their 20s and 30s, and they found the plaque process can start very early in life, depending upon diet and exposure. And when they cut away the plaque and they cross-section the coronary arteries, which are tubes that feed back to the heart, and they see that they have plaque, they cut the plaque away and examine it. And they look at the lining of the blood vessel once the plaque is taken off and look to see what's caused the inflammation. That's why I say these things. So we have to be a little bit more aggressive in our understanding to be healthy. Okay, friends, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Have an amazing day. I'll be back again Saturday morning, 8 to 9 on the amazing WABC. Phone number to the office is 516-794-0404. And the website's drcal.net. Take a look and give us a call. Bye-bye now.